Hey guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about leadership, we talk about who you become under pressure. Because the truth is, anybody can lead when things are easy, but real leadership shows up in hard decisions, in quiet moments, in responsibility, in consistency. It shows up when nobody's clapping. And the older I get, the more I realize small decisions matter more than like the big giant speech. A word, a choice, a standard, a habit, it's that ripple touches people farther than we think. And God never called us to influence people by accident. He calls us to lead with intention. So today we're talking about leadership, faith, service, pressure, and the ripple effect of how we live. Today's guest is David Petrasch. He is a Navy submariner, a pastor, an entrepreneur, and leadership speaker whose life has spanned everything from the submarine to business ownership and ministry. So I feel like it's going to be an incredible conversation today. David, thank you so much for coming into the hot seat. Let's just launch here. I'm sure you've had a lot of moments in your life where pressure really revealed who you were. At this point, what is one of the biggest moments in your life that pressure turned you into a diamond?
Wow, powerful question. Anyway, first, let me say thank you. Hello, and it's wonderful to be here. And I appreciate the opportunity to get into some raw discussions about the ripple effect, as you call it. And I agree with that. The book I wrote was called The Ripple of Faith. And so let's dive right into the hard question. So, probably the biggest time that God put me under pressure to turn me, into a diamond, if you want to call it that. Was when I was working with a pastor of our church, and the two of us were working together to write a book. And we were writing a book about taking a church from a program-based church to a cell-based church. And a cell-based church is cell celebration. You have small groups. And at that church, I was in a position of ministry, and my wife was on the worship team. My wife at the time, was on the worship team. And the leader of the worship team was also a married person, and he had two kids. One of them was newborn. Anyway, long story short, my wife and him had an affair that wound up becoming public. It rocked the church. It split the church. It obviously created quite a ripple in my wife and mine's relationship. We wound up getting divorced. It was the first time in my life that I couldn't control the outcome. And I wound up in a mental institution for about 3 months. My 6-year-old daughter, she was six at the time, found me on the floor in a fetal position because I just wasn't able to cope. And so they took me. She called her mom. I was living in an apartment at the time. She called her mom. Her mom called the paramedics. They came and got me, took me to the emergency room. There wasn't anything physically wrong with me. It was just all emotional,
Mental wreck,
and the
right?
inability to cope. So I made the decision to admit myself to a mental institution in New Hampshire, and I was there for 3 months. And it was a process. When I first went in, they took my razor and my belt and my shoelaces because they were concerned I was on a suicide
Suicide
watch.
watch, yeah.
And through that process, God took me on a journey, and being able to let go and leave the outcome up to Him, and coming out of that, my wife and I wound up, I was there for 3 months, we wound up getting divorced. And I started seeing two different therapists on the outside. One of them was a regular therapist, and one of them was a person who was a pastor, had been a pastor, and he had a ministry, counseling men who were victims of affairs because he had lost his church because his wife had had an affair with one of the parishioners. And so seeing the secular therapist, the secular therapist had me read a book called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And I don't know if you've ever read it or heard of it,
I have.
but from my viewpoint, it's a book straight from the pit of hell. So I read the book, And I went back to the next session with the therapist. And I said, I've read the book in its entirety. And before we discuss it, this will be the last time you and I are going to see each other. And he's like, why is this the last time you and I are going to see each other? I said, because I've read your book in its entirety, and it's beautiful in its simplicity, but it negates three things. And he said, what does it negate? He said, it negates Jesse. I said, it negates Jesse, Jory, and Emery. He said, who are Jesse, Jory, and Emery? I said, because you don't know that is the reason why we're not going to see each other anymore. Jesse, Jory, and Emery are my three kids. And the book, The Power of Now, is all about self. And it says, you can't change the future. You can't change the past. You can't worry about anybody else. You need to worry about yourself. And that's straight from the pit of hell, in my opinion. And so I didn't see that person. And that was the first part of getting past myself, saying, okay, I need to get healthy for Jesse, Jory, and Emery, because every step, every action, every reaction, every decision I make impacts them. And so then I would pray daily in my prayer closet for God to reconcile my family. God, you are the God of relationships. You are the God of family. You orchestrated and ordained and designed families. You brought my wife and I together, and I know you're powerful enough to reconcile us and to change our hearts for each other. And I prayed this every day. And one day, probably about 6 months later, I heard God clearly say to me in an audible voice, no, I'm going to turn her over to the desires of your heart, of her heart. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to reconcile your family. So I got pissed. I got downright pissed. And I was angry at God. And it's one of the nice things, God allows you to be angry at him. I happened to also that day have a session with the pastor who I was still seeing, who had lost his church because his wife had an affair. And so I went to see him, and I told him what had happened and what I heard. And I told him, if that's what God wants from me, I'll choose to lose on my own terms than win on his. He said, you know, you're denying God. I said, I'm not denying God. I know exactly who God is. I've heard God's audible voice. I've served God. He's worked mightily in my life. I know exactly who he is. I'm not denying God. What I'm saying is, if this is what God wants for me, I'll choose to go to hell before I go to heaven. That's how angry I was. And he looked at me and he said, do you realize how arrogant that is? And that's what it took for God to finally break me, for God to bring me to my knees. That just crushed me to the core. And at that point, I was able to say, okay, God, I don't like it. I don't agree with it. I don't understand it. I wish you would have done it a different way. And I'm sure he tried a myriad of different ways, but I was still stubborn to understand and see it. I said, but this is what you needed to do to break me. Okay, you're God, I'm not. I surrender. Build me up to be who you need me to be. And that was the start of God, piece by piece, being able to put me back together, to let go of who I thought I was, to be who he wanted me to be.
Well,
So.
first of all, I mean, I want to clap and be like, that's the show, guys, because that's the complete message. That's everything. And there's a lot to unpack, David. First of all, the fact that this was public, I feel like affairs are hard. The fact that it goes public is even harder, especially when it comes to men, because I feel like it impacts you guys so much more on that level. Second of all, I think people hold people in the church to a different standard, and I think that's crazy because they're human. So
Yep.
everyone is shocked, like, oh my gosh, someone cheated in the church. Well, a preacher broke the law. Well, yeah, again, like they're no different. We are all human, we're all sinners, and we all have that potential and the free will to make the wrong choice. So the fact that it was in the church and it disrupts a church and people lose the church, I think that too is a whole other episode. In and of itself,
Absolutely.
just I do believe that we should be able to hold people to a higher standard, but it's impossible to think that we're not human, and everybody here, we're all human. It's gonna happen.
Yes.
But I just love the story. I love the story because that's exactly what God does. He takes the worst thing that's ever happened to you and he lets it break you down so that he can build you back up. And I think that process, everything you went through, is so completely relatable to literally everybody I've had on the show. So I know for sure it's going to reach my listeners is just that willingness. And I feel like as much as God pisses me off, I imagine we're pretty even, 'cause my rebellious season, I know he gets really frustrated in those moments when I try to do it myself, and I try to figure it out, and I try to put the puzzle together instead of just that. I feel like forever we're going to be learning how to let go and let God. Every experience is going to be a
Absolutely.
little different.
It's wonderful that you said let go and let God. I actually just wrote a song that just got released and it's got picked up on Spotify and everything. It's going to be released on May 18th called Let Go and Let God.
Congratulations.
Oh,
That's
thank
amazing.
you.
That's
Thank you.
amazing. You wrote the
Yeah.
song, you sing the song. What are where are you at
No, I
musically?
can't carry a tune for nothing. I wrote the song and I wrote the music and I hired somebody to sing it. Well, when I was pastoring, I loved to worship. The worship team would be practicing and they would go, Pastor Dave, you're doing this, do this.
That's great. And I mean, that's the point, right? We're all good at something. Some people
Yes.
can write the song, some people can sing the song. I would be with you. I'm the writer, not the singer. Like, it's definitely nobody wants to hear me hold a tune. This is
Yes.
incredible. I this conversation shocked me, because I figured we're going to talk a little bit about, I thought maybe serving in the military, being in the Navy, you're on nuclear submarines. That's huge. So I'm thinking we're definitely going to get a pressure moment there. So this was a curveball, and I love it.
Well, good. God is good.
He is good. How did you guys work through, because you put your kids at the priority, didn't get family back the way you defined getting family back. How did
Right.
you guys grow through this to co-parent?
That's a great question and still an ongoing one. We co-parent very differently. Or we parent very differently and trying to find a way to co-parent through that. You have to again realize it's about the kids. It's not about yourself. The way I explain it to people, and I do this in a teaching, is I get like 10 people and I say, okay, I want you to stand in a circle and I want you to join your arms in that circle. This is the way most of us come at life. We have a relationship with each other, but we're keeping each other at arm's length. We have a relationship with the Lord, we can look upward, but where's our focus? Our focus is inward. And so because our focus is inward, we view everything from how it impacts us. So every action, every reaction is going to be about us. And eventually something's going to negatively impact us. And so it's going to become self-limiting and die. And so that makes our ripple a damaging wake because it's all about us. And water can either be a life-giving ripple or a damaging wake. So now I tell people to turn your backs to each other and I want you to interlock your elbows in that same circle. Now I want you to notice what's changed. Your position hasn't changed. Your circumstances of the moment hasn't changed. What's changed is your focus. Your focus is now outward. So your focus is off yourself. You're actually drawing each other in, allowing each other to touch you in an intimate way, which is risky. You have a relationship with the Lord. You can look upward, but your focus is outward. And so now Dave can see Sue's needs and Bill's needs and Betty's needs, and Betty can see Sue's and Bill's, and we can all see how our actions and reactions impact those around us. And nobody has to say, hey, what about me? Because everybody sees their needs. And it's that flipping of focus which allows your ripple to go outward and become a life-giving water. And that's the struggle of co-parenting. You got to flip your focus, let go of your anger, and say, okay, it's not about me. It's about those kids. It's about making sure they have the ability to have a life-giving ripple from me instead of a damaging wake. And so many parents create a damaging wake because they live in that anger about how it all impacts them, and they need to let go of that. And it's easier said than done, but that's the process of what we did to be able to do it because we are completely different.
David, I feel that, and I am 14, 15, 6, 15 years divorced and still have a super angry co-parent. Like, we have
Yes.
literally had one conversation, and that's, one of my boys got into a little bit of hot water, and we were forced to talk. But every decision, I've tried to just tell myself, like, he genuinely hates me more than he loves the kids. And the kids have seen that. They've seen it, and I used to bend over backwards to protect them from seeing that truth. And now I realize, like, they're gonna have to go through it no matter what, because who he is with me is kind of who he is with them. And
It bleeds over.
It bleeds, and the ripple effect is a negative one. But I'm happy to say they're starting therapy because their relationship has it's been tough. You know, it's you can't hate the parent who's half of who you are. So my kids are so much me, and when they know dad hates me so much, how are they not going to take that on to think that it's the same?
Absolutely. And I do not understand how adults can't realize that. Everybody says kids are resilient, they'll get over it. No,
That's
they're
not
not.
fair.
Kids shut down and internalize what they can't cope with and become dysfunctional adults trying to deal with what they never were able to deal with when they were kids. And it's so damaging. You talk about how, if we've got a little tangent here, so I think this is a wonderful God story. So my wife and I, again, my kid's mom, my son was having trouble dealing with it, and he wrote a song because he was the one who told me about the affair when he was 12 years old,
Oh
and
my
he
gosh.
felt, yes, absolutely. And so he wrote a song, that he was writing, and it said, "I'm living a lie, I'm guilty by association." Because he felt so guilty because he knew his mom was having this affair for some time before he told me. So I went to talk to his mom. And so she was with the person she had the affair with. And he was afraid there was going to be a physical altercation. So he called the police, and there wasn't. But anyway, the police came, and it's a small town in New Hampshire. And it was a Friday night. And they said, "Listen, this is a potential domestic violence situation. We're going to take you into custody. We're going to put you in the county jail for the weekend, and then we'll see the judge on Monday." I was like, okay. So I go in, and the only cell they had was in the high security area. So I wound up getting put in this cell with these two young kids, and there were four cells in this high security area. And so it was kind of a closed aspect. And I'd never been in prison before. But I wound up being able to minister to these two young kids. But on Sunday night, we went to the Bible study. And so, literally, you're in this little room, and here's the plexiglass wall, and it's got all the holes in it for the pastor on the other side who was doing the Bible study. And so, there's like maybe a dozen of us in this little room, and we're all jammed in. And I'm literally pressed up against this young man who's, got the tattoos and the do-rag and the whole thing. And so the pastor's going on, and he's giving his message. And then at the end, he goes, "Does anybody have anything they'd like to share?" And this one young man says, "Yes, I'd like to read this poem. I'll read this prayer that I wrote the other night when I was feeling especially low." And so the pastor goes, "Okay." So he starts reading this prayer, and he goes, "Dear Muhammad, Confucius, Buddha, Christ," li listing all these different deities. He goes, "I'm the biggest rapist, murderer, sinner, or adulterer that ever lived." And he starts listing all the people he killed, and he starts listing all the women he's raped. And literally, we're pressed up, just, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying, "Witness to him." And I'm like, "No, witness to him. I ain't doing that. I'm only here till Monday. I'm good. Tomorrow morning, right?" And but I hear the Holy Spirit just, impressing upon me, "You need to witness to him." So when he was finished, the pastor goes, "Thank you for sharing. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to share?" So I kind of raise my hand, and I'm like, "Oh, this guy's gonna make me his BIT." And so I turn and I look at him, and we're face to face, literally inches apart. And I go, "It was a beautiful prayer. I know you pray to, Jesus, Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad." I was like, "I just want you to know that there really is only one true God, and Christ is his son, and the only way unto the Father is through Jesus Christ." And I started witnessing to him. And he just started bawling, and he just started crying, and he put his arms around me, and he gave me a hug, and he was like, "Nobody has ever shared with me like that. Nobody's ever cared enough to share with me like that. Can I talk to you some more about this?" So we were able to sit there for about an hour, just me and him talking and me witnessing to him. And he just, cried in my arms. And this is big, tough gang kid. And I
Yeah,
was like, oh
yeah.
God, such a powerful blessing for me to be there at that time to be used by God for that circumstance. And if it meant, okay, I spent the weekend in jail, I spent the weekend in jail. But, it's the way God works.
Yeah. What he won't do. And I think that's the thing I've really set my soul on is that whatever you go through, God is going to use it for his glory. I don't care how hurt you were, how broken you were. He takes the worst moments. And maybe your whole life was for that moment. Maybe this guy really did surrender to Christ, and that's going to be your big moment. And I think so many people, that's why I'm so passionate about this show. That's why I'm so passionate about people coming on, because they don't realize they have a story. They don't realize they have a story. And if we can get people to take their brokenness and we have these conversations and we get to show them exactly how God wants to use them. He wants you to surrender. Everybody's messed up in this world, and I think, you're definitely the definition of who I would bring on here, because you've been through it. You've been in the pits. It's so hard, especially I think with church today. Like I said, people are putting this whole idea of who the preacher should be, and we kind of like dehumanize him. He's not human to us, and so they put on the show, right? Like they don't mess up, they're kind of perfect. I could never sit down and trust someone to witness to me that hasn't been in hell. Like you can't tell me
Absolutely.
if you have not
Absolutely.
rubbed elbows with the devil, like you can't talk to me. And I think I've argued with God, David. He told me to do this show. I'm like, no, I can't. I'm not doing the show because I'm very set. I'm very stubborn. How do I have a conversation with people who believe different than me, right? Like, how can I have a conversation with someone who believes in abortion? And I'm taking that chance every time I come on the show. And those are things that I'm so passionate, and God's like, you're going to do it. I dragged my feet forever, and I finally was like, yes, sir.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got to leave the outcome up to God. So many people try to control the outcome. I don't know how many people will drive down the road and they see somebody, in need, and they might feel God saying, give them $20. And they're like, I'm not going to give them $20. They're going to go use it on drugs. Doesn't matter if
Not
they
your
use it on
business.
drugs. Not your business. The outcome's up to God. If God said, give them $20, give them $20, leave the outcome up to Him. I tell people that the Christ the world knows is the Christ they see in us. For whatever reason, God chose to work through man. The most impossible, means to be effective, but He chose to work through man. And so if we want the world to see a Christ that loves them when they're unlovable, we need to love them when they're unlovable. If we want the world to see a Christ that will walk across the street and feed them, we need to walk across the street and feed them. So many times we put barriers up because, no, you've got to do it my way. And God didn't do it my way. He did it His way, which was totally turning the norm upside down. And we need to let go of that idea that it has to be done this way. We do so much damage in the name of Christ because we think, no, you have to do it this way. It's
And
not,
it's
yeah.
not like that. And that's the
No, it's
thing.
not.
At the same time, I mean, Jesus is the same Jesus throughout everything,
Absolutely.
and he does not
Absolutely.
conform to our beliefs. And I think that's the thing I really had to find my solid ground in with my relationship right now, is that, I can have conversations with people who are different. And the thing that keeps me stable, that keeps me rooted, that keeps me grounded, is that Jesus is the same. Jesus
Yep.
is the same. He doesn't conform to my feelings. He doesn't conform to me being comfortable. He doesn't
No.
bend and give and take. He was very strict in the Bible about how it went.
Was.
Very.
I tell everybody Jesus was loving and Jesus was kind, but He wasn't nice. He was told the truth in love. And one of my favorite, people, I always tell people the biggest barrier to a relationship with Christ is self. It's you. You're your biggest barrier.
That's it.
When we, I pastored a church up in New Hampshire before we moved to Arizona. And when I was making the move to Arizona and we were gonna, bring in the next pastor, there was this young lady who was the worship leader. Her name was Katrina. And I was feeling that God was calling her to be the next pastor. And so I told her, I said, Katrina, I want you to start giving messages every now and then so people can get used to you giving the message. And she said, okay, what do you want me to give the message about? And I said, it doesn't matter. Whatever God calls you to give the message on, I just want the people to see who you are. And she said, okay. So the next Sunday, she showed up. And she's in cutoff jeans. She's in a tank top. Well, a halter top, I think is what they're called. A halter top. She's got all of her piercings in and all of her skin tat showing. And I was like, great. She was like, you wanted them to see who I am. This is who I am. I was like, great. And she gave this message, and it was a powerful message. Usually, when somebody else gives a message, I'm like, yeah, I've been there, done that, gave it better, and I fall asleep. So she gave a wonderful message, kept me at my attention and everything. And I was just like, this is amazing. But everybody in the congregation was like, I can't believe she wore cutoff jeans. I can't believe she wore a tank top. And they're going all this kind of
Yep.
stuff. So the next Sunday, I gave a message on how the people rejected Christ because he didn't show up the way they expected him to. They wanted a military ruler who was going to overthrow Rome, and he showed up as a servant leader who died for them. And so the people of his day rejected him because he didn't look like they expected. And I got the point across.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I think, a lot of people, God's going to use who he uses, and I am definitely a testimony to that. He's going to use who he uses, and every day I'm like, you made me like this. Are you sure? Like, you know me. Are you sure? I still ask the question every day before I
Absolutely.
steward the interviews, is I'm like, are you sure about me? Are you sure about me? And every single day it is just that relief of like, yes, just be you. Let's do this. Let's do this. And I,
Amen.
getting to give everything to him. I don't have to worry about the outcome. I just have to open up that little door. And, the conversations I have that are tough on the show, I always get to pray with the people when we're done. And I think that's the gift right there. And I've never prayed out loud with people, never done it. Prayer's always been a very private thing for me. So just know that's God, y'all.
Amen.
That's I'm like, I don't even know what to say right now. I end the recording and I'm like, all right, God, just whatever you need to say, you can do it, because I'm checking out. Like, there's nothing in me that would ever know what words to say, but every conversation has just been, it's amazing.
He is faithful.
Yeah.
And that's really all we need to do, is we need to just let go and let God, just surrender to him. And it's such a release. People want to find that peace that transcends all understanding. And the way they do that is to realize in this world and in Christ, and especially in this country, we have a lot of rights and freedoms, but our greatest right and our greatest freedom is to let go of our rights and freedoms for others, to let go of our right and freedom to be angry, to let go of our right and freedom to say, what about me? To let go of our right and freedom to say, hey, I matter too, and realize who we are in Christ is enough, and let him be our defender so we don't have to be. When you can get to that point, and it's easier said than done, that's where you find the peace that transcends all understanding. I tell people the salvation of a soul was a matter of a moment. I give my life to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Boom. But the maturation of a saint, that process of becoming more and more like Christ each day, is a journey of a lifetime, and we never get there. Like you said, one step forward, three steps back, one step forward, three steps back. And he is faithful to keep walking with us.
And that's what it feels like. That's the relationship with Christ. This is my 3rd year of reading the Bible every day. The 1st year, it was just words. I was like, just gotten the discipline. I'm like, just keep going, just keep going. It did not feel, I've always believed in God, but it just didn't feel like what I thought it would feel like. Second year, I started, I'm crying every day because it's like alive. I'm like, this is scary because this is so alive, right? And now, my 3rd year, I have some days where I'm totally connected, and some days like today, I'm like, God, this doesn't feel genuine, but I want it to, right? I don't feel genuine in your love today. And it's a hard thing to admit, but it's real. So I'm like, get outside of that and just know deep down in my soul, like, I desire you. I need you. Come through for me today. 'Cause it's just like that. Some days it feels
Absolutely.
spot on, and some days I question everything, and I'm like, does he know me? Does he know me today? And I want him to know me so desperately that it almost feels fake, And I'm like, this is it's just such it is going to take forever. It's going to take forever for me to try to even just begin to touch that potential. But the difference, I think, David, and that's what I really want us to help teach, like the listener today, the difference of that is that I'm willing to wake up and try. If we wake up every day and then we're like, in spite of everything, the world is on fire, your marriage is burning down, maybe you're battling addiction, whatever it is in that moment, if you just make that small choice, like you said, that just one choice of like, how can I be better today? How can I be better through Christ? Because he's the model. I've always joked about there not being a guidebook to life. There's literally a guidebook to life. It's the Bible. Everything's in there. It tells you everything from A to Z. You don't need, I think the woo culture has really taken over, and it breaks my heart. You don't need to search. I've been there, done that. Okay. got the postcard.
Yep.
It's The Devil's Busy. And he takes
Amen.
advantage of people wanting that spiritual connection. So he thinks we can connect to these spirits and our ancestors and all these things. And I'm like, demons, 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 demons. Like, you're going the wrong direction.
Amen.
It's very simple, but the guidebook's there. And I'm just telling you guys that ripple effect, just making that one choice of like, maybe you can't do it for yourself today, right? Like, maybe David can't choose David today, but he can think about his three kids and think, I want to be better for them today. Right. And some days I show up because I want to be better for my kids. I show up because I want to be a better wife. I show up because I want to be a better host. I show up because I want to be a better Christian. Maybe some days always look different, but there's always that decision. Like, one little tiny decision in my day propels me forward and brings me closer. And every roadblock that comes up, like, I asked David for a big event. You gave us a huge event, right? But there's a lot of little ones that happen too. A
Yes.
lot of little roadblocks that happen, and it's those moments where we have that blind faith of like, he's gonna mold me, he's gonna use this. I mean, you got to, bring someone in prison to Christ. That's not a conversation everybody gets to have every day.
Amen to that. Yes, ma'am.
That's amazing. But it is an incredible journey. What are you working on now, David? Because we're coming up on our time, so I want to know about your book. I want to know what you're up to, what you're building.
Yep. So, my wife and I retired from pastoring about a year ago. I'm going to retire from our business that we own here in one more year. And so I started kind of filling my void by one, writing the book. The book is The Ripple of Faith, and it's about having that outward focus so you can have a life-giving ripple instead of a damaging wake. And then I started writing songs. So I've got two songs that are out that will be on Spotify. One of them is Let Go and Let God, and the other one is called You Are Enough. And then the third one, which I wrote the words and the music to, and now I'm trying to find somebody to sing it because I have this vision in my head of what type of voice it should be, is called Help Me Believe. And it's a song about the journey. It's about the lyrics and the about falling again and getting back it up. And it starts with, Lord, it's me again, right back where I started. Please don't let me be where it's I please don't let it be where I end. And the chorus of it that gets the name, Help Me Believe, is if there's still a place for me, help me believe, because it's believing that God still has a place for you because you make that one step forward and three steps back. So I'm looking for a person with a really gravelly voice, kind of like a Chris Stapleton voice. I don't think if I called him up, he'd sing it, but
You never know.
you never
What
know.
does the Bible say? Ask and you shall receive. I mean, you're
There
saying
you
it's all
go.
away from me.
Yes.
Just.
Yep. So that's what I've been doing lately. So the book got published and released on March 30th of this year. The two songs currently are ready to go will be released on Spotify and iTunes on Ju the 18th of this month. I do have a website which we put together for the book because everybody kept asking me how can you get more information.
Exactly.
So
Yeah.
I put together a website. It's called Ripple of Faith Leadership. So the website is rippleoffaith.com, or you can just Google Ripple of Faith Leadership and we'll take you to it. And we've got some other resources there, and the songs will be there, and just a way to connect with people.
That's amazing. I want to let you leave some words with the audience. What would you say to someone listening who just really feels stuck between their comforts and their purpose right now?
That's a wonderful question. And my answer would be to let go of your desired outcome and ask God to show you His. And I know it's difficult, and I know it's not easy, and I know it's scary, but to really get to that point where you can find that peace, you need to take the first step of saying, okay, God, let me see what you want and give me the obedience to respond to you. And he will do what it takes to break you. So be ready, because he might have to put you in a mental institution and send you to jail. You never know. Hopefully not. But he will do what it takes to break you, and that's okay.
Yes, I agree with that. Where can people find your book?
The book is available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble in your Christian bookstores. It's called The Ripple of Faith. It's by David Petrish, or you can go to my website, rippleoffaith.com, and you can order it from there as well.
Perfect.
Thank
David,
you.
this is the part of the show, for what it's worth, that I get to tell you what I think makes you special. It's not just, reading a bio of this multifaceted life. You've experienced different worlds. It's that you have learned that your influence, your impact isn't built in the giant moments. It's the little things that come after. The fact that you took something most people would stay broken in, and instead of being a victim of that, you have allowed God to use you to be able to help other people. You're showing the humanity in a relationship with Christ, and I think there isn't anything that speaks louder than that. And not just that you've allowed him to mold you and to shape you, and that you're a willing participant in that, you're creating, and that's exactly what he wants. He wants your heart poured out in music. He wants you using your voice. He wants you sharing on podcasts, and you're willing to open up and share the most vulnerable experience in your life. Painful, heartbreaking. You're willing to share that with people and let them see that, so they can also see what God can do in people. I think it's amazing. So I appreciate what you're doing. I love that you came on here and just showed us what the model is here. To everyone listening, your life creates the ripples too. The way you lead, the way you speak, the way you handle pressure, the way you handle the heartbreak. People are impacted by who you are, even when you don't realize it. So I'm saying, tread carefully and build your foundation in Christ. God did not create you to drift through life accidentally just influencing people with whatever experience you have. We are called to a level of leadership that has integrity and courage and tension, and sometimes that starts from the big mess. It starts from the heartbreak. But that's the point. The mess is your message. That was David's launching point for his biggest testimony and his biggest relatable experience. So even the pressure, even the failures, even the heartbreak, even the seasons where you're being stretched, that is where your potential gets built. If this episode spoke to you, do me a favor, share it out. There is someone that needs to hear David's story that we can't reach without your help. Okay. It's a very selfless act. It'll take you a second. Just share it out wherever you can with whoever you feel called to share it with. And as always, you guys know, if you're ready for the hot seat, I dare you to come tell me why you're special. David, thank you so much for your time. What a gift. Every day is a surprise, and I'm never disappointed in any conversation. This is no exception. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for everything you're doing. It's such a blessing to know that you've been obedient to the Lord, to respond to Him and let the outcome up to Him, and you're reaching tons of people with your message. And that is such an honor and so humbling, because it's one thing for a 64-year-old middle-aged bald white guy, but it's another thing for a young lady like you to be able to be out there and risk. So thank you.
I appreciate you.